Yesterday it was on all our screens, still on the screens indeed. Today, front page of every newspaper, pictures of that horrific fire in London. And I'm just lifting the newsletter here because it asks a simple question. That's a question we were asking yesterday on the radio as well. Could this horror happen here in the light of the horrible fire at the Grenfell Tower in London yesterday, where people lost their lives, people are missing, the fallout from it continues. It is shocking. It is sad. It is just beyond belief that such a horror could happen. But it did happen. And we have high-rise buildings here in Northern Ireland. I want to speak to one of our group commanders, Jeff Somerville. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Jeff, first of all, may I say that your colleagues and people you would know and have liaised with at London Fire Brigade, they are absolutely heroic. And one of the pluses maybe of social media is you can see the heroism that fire officers deliver on a regular basis, the length and breadth of the United Kingdom. You can see it for real when there are so many cameras there. And they deserve immense thanks and immense credit.
Oh, very much so. Our sympathies this morning, and everybody who works in the Fire and Rescue Service here in Northern Ireland have been very affected by this tragedy. We really feel so much for those people who have affected, and our colleagues in London Fire and Rescue Service who are putting their own lives at risk to save others. We know yesterday that they rescued 65 people from that building. So those firefighters were entering that building, making their way up that towering inferno, and actually rescuing people, and 65 people thankfully were saved as a result of their actions. It really is heroic, and it makes us proud of all the firefighters in the, right across the United Kingdom when we see the hard work that they do, being so open on social media and the news.
Yeah, so they deserve immense, immense credit, all the rescue services involved, and how they cope with it, I simply do not know. Jeff, the question that is being asked, could this horror happen here?
Well, what is interesting, Frank, is this is a completely unprecedented incident. We've never seen a fire of this type in the United Kingdom ever before. And therefore, there will be a very detailed and comprehensive investigation into this to find out how this could possibly have happened. And even in Northern Ireland, we've initiated a review, working with our colleagues in the Housing Executive, to check all of the properties, the high-rise properties in Northern Ireland, to make sure that this type of incident couldn't happen over here. The speculation would appear to be that something in relation to the cladding of this building might have caused this accelerated fire growth, and we will be checking in Northern Ireland to make sure that that can't happen here. So really we want to put that message out to the public that high-rise buildings are designed to be extremely safe. They must be designed so that fire cannot spread from floor to floor and outside of a compartment. So each individual flat fire, and the way our firefighters train to attack these fires is to enter the building using the protected shafts and using the internal water supplies and the dry rising mains, and then we will fight the fire from inside the building. So any fire that has happened in Northern Ireland, our firefighters have successfully dealt with it. And I personally have attended and been incident commander at a very severe fire in the centre of Belfast, and those actions worked extremely well to extinguish the fire. So our firefighters are very, very well practiced on that, and really just to give the public that reassurance that we train on a very regular basis to attack and fight fires in high-rise buildings right across Northern Ireland, and that work's ongoing.
Well, what's your advice to someone who's on the 14th story of one of our high-rises listening to this programme? They're standing, listening to the radio, they're looking out the window and they're thinking, I've never really given any consideration to fire before. If it did happen, what would I do? There is no way that I can jump. It is too high. If I go to the door and the flames are in the corridor, where do I go? What do I do? Advice seemed to be to stay in the flat in London, but those who stayed probably perished.
Well, each different high-rise premises will have an individual policy. Some will have a stay-put policy, and an example is the Oval Tower in Belfast. The likes of those flats are designed to be extremely fire retardant, and the fire will not spread between floors. And therefore, people are actually safe if it's the policy of the building to stay in their individual flat. Where the policy is to leave, and the great majority of properties is, if you hear a fire alarm or if you see a fire, is to get out, get the fire brigade out and stay out. And those buildings are designed to have a protected shaft, and you will use the stairs, never use the lift in the event of a fire. Those protected shafts will withhold fire and smoke back for 2 hours, and that will be more than sufficient to allow people to evacuate out of the building. This fire that happened in London is unprecedented. We've never seen the like of that. Something has went very badly wrong with the fire precautions in that building, and that's why we do not see that type of fire happening. And I can see even changes to legislation potentially coming out as a result of that, because something has went wrong in that individual case. In Northern Ireland, our building control officers rigorously inspect any building that has been built in Northern Ireland, and that the safety, the systems and the installations in those buildings are safe and in accordance with design codes. So I would be quite confident in saying that after we've reviewed all the buildings in Northern Ireland, we'll be in a much better position, and we should be very confident that the same type of incident can't happen over here.
Yeah, you used the example of the Obel, which is a relatively new tower, but what about the towers in the likes of the New Lodge or Seymour Hill in Dunmurray that would have been up from the 50s and 60s?
Yeah, we have had fires in flats in those towers, and we successfully extinguished those using our normal firefighting tactics with zero fire spread between floors and zero fire spread between buildings. So the exterior of those buildings are very fire retardant, and any fire has been confined to the flat of origin, and that's the way these buildings are designed, and that's how it's supposed to happen.
If one of those buildings was owned by a private company and employed people doing work, say in publishing or whatever, twice a year the law would say that you have to evacuate the building and carry out a fire drill. There are no fire drills for families.
No, there's not. And that's why really we have published information on our website that tells people about how to pre-plan for an incident in a high-rise premises. So there's different things you can do. You can make an escape plan so that you know where you keep your keys. You know that you've got a working smoke alarm in your individual flat that will alert you early. And you know what the best and most efficient route out of the building is. And of course, people living in high-rise will often use the lifts. In the event of a fire, you would not use the lift to evacuate the building. You'll use the staircase. So it's just important to be familiar with those escape routes and checking all the doors and what way they open and how they operate. And if there's any defects spotted, report them immediately to the management company so that they are followed up. And really, we would say regularly walk those escape routes, check all those type of things, so that you know your way out of the building. And the same principle applies for domestic premises as well, where normal houses, you've got to check and work that escape plan and rehearse it regularly.
I suppose it's worth keeping in mind, if we're on holiday in high rises as well, we've got to familiarise ourselves with the escape plan, with the steps. If you're staying in a hotel, you should be aware of where you are. When you see the pictures that are still on our screens, when you see those pictures, you realise you could be vulnerable.
Oh, it's a harrowing thing to see on the television. And really, we would say to everybody, when you walk in the building, and of course fire officers very regularly rehearse this, when we walk into a shopping centre, the first thing we'll look for is those little green running man exit signs, so that we know if there's a fire in a premises, we know what the way out is. So we'll always see those little signs in the back of hotel doors and where the escape route is, but often we ignore them. So look, this is a reminder to everybody to really just put themselves first and put their family first in relation to fire safety, because it will strike, or it could potentially strike, when it's least expected.
So just for the final point, Jeff, so as we're clear on this, if you're living in a high rise in Northern Ireland and there is a fire in another flat, you stay put if you can't get out. Is that it? You stay put if there's smoke in the corridor, or you stay put full stop?
No, Frank, I must be very, very clear on this. You must follow the fire policy to the individual building that you're working in. Okay, so each building will have a specific set of plans. Some will have a stay put policy, and some will have a get out and get the fire brigade out policy. So it's important to follow the policy for your building. And what I would always say is, if you're in any doubt, get out, get the fire brigade out, and stay out. And really maintaining that contact with 999 to the fire service control room is very, very important, because if you are trapped in a building, maintaining that contact will allow us to direct our firefighters directly in order to bring you out of the building. And that applies for any type of premises. But in the event of a fire, the important thing is follow those instructions for your building, get out, get the fire brigade out, and stay out.
And how rigorous will these checks be over the next 48 hours? 32 buildings that house 3,000 people here.
Oh, those will be rigorous indeed. And I'm meeting with our housing executive colleagues only this afternoon to discuss and follow up on that piece of work. The Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service also inspects any facilities in these properties that is provided for the protection of firefighters, such as dry rousing units. We will protect firefighting staircases and also inspect lifts, etc. And that is part of our role, and we do that on a review and a risk-based approach right across all the properties in Northern Ireland.
You mentioned dry rising, and I see that a lot in the commentary. What exactly is a dry rise?
So a dry riser is a rising mains that the fire service, when we drive up to the outside of the building, we will put in our hoses into the outside of the building and get a water supply from a hydrant, and then we will charge that mains, and then that allows our firefighters to carry up a length of hose, connect it in two landings below the fire. We will create a bridgehead, and that bridgehead is where we will then attack the fire from. So we will then bring the hose on up the stairs and attack the fire using that. So that's what a dry riser is. And then, of course, any building over 30 metres will have a wet riser in it, and that will be a permanently charged, supplied from the from a mains water supply, and it will have a backup tank, and that means that that is always live, so our firefighters can go straight in there, plug in a water or a hose, and directly take water out to be able to fight a fire in those premises. So, for example, the Obel Tower, it's got a wet rising mains in it, and which means because it's over that height.
And just finally, I noticed a little point that no one should ever have bottled gas in a high rise. Is that right?
That's very true. Definitely do not keep bottled gas, those super source cylinders, etc., in a high rise, because it's much, much, much too dangerous.
Okay, Jeff, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. Thank you. Thank you. That's Jeff Somerville, Group Commander with the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, keeping a very close eye on the high rise buildings here in Northern Ireland after that tragedy in London.